We're going to be digging into the Word in Exodus chapter 35, if you'd like to turn there. You've had a summary or so already through the movie and the song. I want to encourage us today to build well. To build well. In this parasha and its corresponding Haftarah, the prophet's portion, speaks to me of first remembering God and praying, the power of memory. In between the lines, that they're willing to work together as a team. They're being real with others. And the third point is that they're acting wisely and courageously. The passage that Dahlia had us read in the beginning of chapter 35 reads thus. Then Moses assembled all the congregation of the sons of Israel and said to them, "These are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a holy day, a Sabbath of complete rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall not kindle a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day." And we probably remember that the two main versions of the Sabbath laws have Zchor and Shmor, right? Remember and guard. And often I've taken this remember as something to do now in order to keep it, right? But this past week, I enjoyed myself so much in having memories come forth, putting my kids to bed. Sometimes we share stories on how the day is gone, and somehow the conversation turned to our summer vacation. First time our family as a whole had been back in America, or been in America for 4 years, and since last time. And it was a meaningful experience, right? It was going to another continent. There was all sorts of new things. America is huge. It's green. Yes. This is small. It's dry. And they were overwhelmed with their senses. We were in Michigan and we were in New York. And I had such a joy in remembering with my children little details that they were remembering from my grandmother's 90th birthday. Wow, fun. Or memories of the home that I grew up in most of my life. They now had connections, and they remembered that. And I was thinking of, wow, the joy and the power of those shared memories. And then in reading the parasha and preparing this week to share, I thought, wow, what if we enjoyed the memories we've had of Shabbat? Those memories can empower us to do. And it's not like tying a red something on your thumb or, you know, putting up boundaries everywhere or putting in your day timer, remember the Sabbath, it starts this, or which is fine, right? But remembering previous joys of blessing that God has given, either through the people of Israel or the expanded people of God through the New Testament, remembering with the communities that have gone before and remembering personally. And that memory in the past will help us not to forget in the future. And I think that's a great truth, at least for me, and I hope for you as well, that you will hold on to joyous old memories that will empower you to live out the future according to God's word. The parasha, the Torah portion this week, talks again, as if it wasn't enough before, right, about the building of the tabernacle. It's over and over and over again. It's surprising how many chapters are dedicated to this building, something that is supposed to be temporary. It's surprising how much stuff they bring, bronze and gold, right? How much they dedicate to the Lord, the biggest maybe building campaign in the Jewish world ever, as far as the response. Unbelievable. And it's all for a building campaign that's not to be permanent. An amazing fact is that this temporary structure lasted longer than either of the permanent temple structures that were built later on. Fascinating to think about that as it wandered around the desert in Shiloh, right, in Nob, in different places. It lasted maybe 400 and some years, longer than either the first temple, built by Solomon, destroyed by the Babylonians, or the second temple period in the 400s, 4th century, up until 70 AD. Some people argue it's 480 years of the Mishkan, and so that puts it a little bit past. This building is meant to be a place for God's dwelling. And it challenges me, and I hope it challenges you, to see how we are investing our lives, what we've brought to the Lord, or what we haven't brought to the Lord, and how we're building for things permanent, that we think that are permanent, or that are temporary, that are dedicated to God. So, first step of building well, I believe, is to acknowledge God. Just remember the Sabbath. That's why I'm using this as a general category of remembering the Lord, to pray, to dedicate oneself, to not just run and do what God says, but listen and realize, hey, the Sabbath trumps this. Because the people might have thought, hey, wait a minute, if all the laws of the Sabbath are to be broken because of the temple or the tabernacle worship, maybe we should build on the Sabbath as well, right? But God interjects and says no. So it reminds me, encourages me to pause, to pray, to listen, to hear from the Lord before building well. A second is to trust God and seek God as far as giftings. Everybody had something to bring, right? Some people, like Bezalel and Oholiab, were dedicated in a special way to bring forth their chokhmat lev, their wise heart, their great wisdom in building and guiding others in building. Other people were providing for the building. And I think of my own family. We had a great joy of being abroad in the field and serving with Wycliffe. And my dad really enjoyed that. Later on, he was sick enough that he wasn't able to go. He thought about going out again, and he couldn't. But he could still earn money. And he found great joy in being able to support others who were out there. And maybe as much joy, even through them. And I think we can do the same. Some people are actually doing it, and some people are funding them. And that can also bring a joy, and that's a gifting. That's a gifting in someone's life. But we can't just sit on our bums, right, and wait for our gifts to develop. We have to practice. We have to be trained. We have to seek them out. I'm struck again and again that Moses was trained within the Egyptian courts, right, or Daniel in the Babylonian courts, in the secular wisdom. And God used them tremendously so that we can use aptitude tests. We can use counselors or others who are grounded in the Lord to help us learn more about ourselves and learn more where our giftings are. And a great part of maturity I think, is, I'm still struggling with this, I guess, is to acknowledge that you're not good in many, many, many areas. And that the dreams that you have when you're in high school are not to be fulfilled. And the great American dream of everyone becoming the president, if it's possible, right? You can become president, is really a little bit silly. Because God has gifted you in certain ways and in not in other ways. And so I encourage all of us to greater maturity in acknowledging what we are gifted in and what we aren't. And if we are gifted in a few areas, that's going to mean probably that we aren't gifted in a lot of other areas, right? But that we can use whatever giftings God has given us and be trained in those for God's service, just like Moses or Daniel or others. Or Bezalel or Oholiab. I would like to make further connections with this training and with this wisdom and Chochmat Lev with the Haftarah now. And if you want to keep your fingers in Exodus 35, we'll be turning to 1 Kings chapter 7. 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 13, talks about a certain Hiram from Tyre. Now King Solomon sent and brought Hiram from Tyre. He was a widow's son from the tribe of Naphtali. His father was a man of Tyre, a worker in bronze, and he was filled with wisdom and understanding and skill for doing any work in bronze. So he came to King Solomon and performed all his work. And he fashioned many, many things. So of course there's a connection here between the tabernacle, the Mishkan, and the temple, the Mikdash. Bezalel, being one of the chief craftsmen for the tabernacle, and now Hiram from Tyre, being the chief craftsman of the temple. There are many connections that can be found between the Mishkan and the Mikdash and these craftsmen. Before we move to those connections, I want to stop and just pause for a moment of teaching. I don't know if there's any great implication for life, but accept that the affirmation that God's word is true. Amen. I looked at a number of commentaries and Bible dictionaries up at Hiram. Who is this guy Hiram? And first I was struck in my fuzzy knowledge that there's two Hirams. Okay, I didn't have it really in my head. Now maybe I kind of knew, okay, there's a Hiram, there's a craftsman, there's a Hiram, the king of Tyre. They're both from Tyre. That's the first point. There's two Hirams. One is an ally of Solomon, and the other one is a craftsman that is brought from Tyre to the temple, right? So that's the first point. The second point is that I think every Bible dictionary I looked at, four or five, talked about the problematic nature of our biblical sources in saying that he is from Naphtali in 1 Kings, and in 1 Chronicles it says his mother's from Dan. Oh, problem. And everybody says there's a problem. Some people say it's confused, the biblical text is confused, and it goes on and on. I was like, wow, this is a bit troubling. Let me try to figure this out. Those of you who know a little bit of Hebrew can access, along with me, my little bit of Hebrew, Dat HaMikra. You know this little commentary? It's about this big. It's really cheap. It's like 1,000 shekels for 20 some, 30 volumes, I don't know. And they interact with just about everything. And these guys got it right. Once again, amazing. They point out that in Numbers chapter 1, verse 2, it says that the people are ordered according to their fathers. Right? So where is his father? From Naphtali. Where is his mother from? Dan. No problem. All these Bible dictionaries were just blowing smoke. And the problem is within the text. I mean, there's no problem. And the answer is within the text itself. Just comparing closely how the Bible orders the Shvatim, the tribes and people's lineage. And so I was encouraged, once again, that our Bible is true. Amen. So Hiram, a great craftsman from Tyre. And it's not surprising that there wouldn't be Israelites there in Tyre because Solomon's reign was extensive, right? And Naphtali being farther up in the north, and Dan being bumped up to the north, right? Makes a lot of sense. So all the pieces fit together. And so we can have encouragement from this little bit of instruction in the truth of God's Word. Even though most of our Bible dictionaries and even some commentaries might not see it. There are some really fun connections between the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and the temple within these passages from Exodus 35 and 1 Kings chapter 7. We have these great craftsmen who are singled out and both are endowed with a divine spirit, the chokhmah of skill, ability, tvuna, and knowledge, dat, of every kind of craft. The bronze work was done by Hiram, right? He was endowed with a skill, chokhmah, ability, tvuna, and knowledge, dat, for executing all the work, kol melecha. That word melecha, it's a touchstone, that work. In English, it's the same as other words for work, like avodah. But here, in the Hebrew text, it's differentiated. And God doesn't say, don't do work on the Sabbath, as in avodah. He says, don't do work as in melecha on the Sabbath. And so it's caused a lot of inquiry as to what this is. What is melecha? The rabbinic Jews have come up with 39 different fathers of melecha, 40 minus 1. And those are the basis for knowing what to do and not to do on the Sabbath. How do they come up with that? Back to our parasha, Exodus 35 says not to do these melechot, these works, and list them, not list them, but when they do the melecha of the work of the Mishkan, then by inverse, we know that these might, well, we don't know. Some people think that this is what God means by not doing melecha. Does that make sense? It's a little bit tricky. God says don't do melecha work. And they're doing melecha work when they're building the tabernacle. And so if this is melecha work, then not doing this melecha work that's described to be done in the tabernacle is what's used. I think that whole issue needs to be discussed and analyzed and questioned within our community because it hasn't been done for a long time, I would say, within our believing community. Back to the connections now between Beit Hillel and Hiram. There are further linguistic connections between the Haftarah and the Parsha, these the prophets and Torah. It says a few times, Vaya'as, and he made. It's connected with Beit Hillel's work in the tabernacle and with Hiram's work here in the temple. Now, this makes us think of other passages that have that same construction, and he will do, or and he made. Some of those are in the creation narrative, in Genesis, right, chapter 1, chapter 2. And the ancient sages were aware of these connections, connecting the curtains of the Mishkan with the heavens, the brazen tank and the waters of the sea, the golden candlesticks and the lights in the firmament, the winged cherubim and the winged cherubim, and the animals, and go on and on. Just noting that God seeks to dwell with his creation. He walked with him in the garden, right? And he desires to be with us and walk with us in the tabernacle. And God's desire is always to be with us, to walk with us, and because of sin and such, that's been broken. But through the Mishkan and through Yeshua, ultimately, and the sacrifice, we can be reconnected through that, and God's presence can be with us. Amen? Amen. This building project took a lot of time, a lot of skilled work, and I have been involved in some learning of being skilled in building. I'm not a builder by trade, but I pastored a church about 15 years ago before I came here, and a man gave me 10 acres to fulfill one of my dreams, was to build a cabin. I called him 12 years later. I said, you know what, John, It's not going to happen. We don't have the finances. And he says, oh, too bad. I just told another guy that I'm not going to tear down his barn. And if you tore down this barn, you would have more lumber, more than enough lumber, not just one cabin, two cabins. And so I said, oh, John, I don't know if I can do it. I don't have any skills. I don't have a team. I went there. He helped. A few other people helped. We tore down the barn, and we saved the wood. So slowly, here's one of the tree nails from this 120-year-old or 30-year-old barn that we didn't use them all because we're not rebuilding the same size as the barn. But the process of building has struck me over and over again, how complicated it is, how wonderful it is, how temporary things can be if things fall apart. And this is what I'd like to share about. This past year, went back for a few weeks, and we were at a stage that we had finished the barn board on the outside. We'd put the barn board back, and we're doing a part of the basement. And wanted to do the basement in stone. There's a creek just down across the way. And so we could just get all the stone work and all the stones to collect to build for the wall, for the outside, for the basement. And I was extremely green. Didn't know what I was doing, right? I didn't have the chokhmat lev of Betzalel, the wisdom building knowledge of either Betzalel or Hiram or Oholiab. And so in the beginning, I was looking for particular rocks. I thought I needed flat rocks or just the right rocks to get in to make the piles, and then lay it out. He showed me how to do it. He's a master craftsman, this man named John. He's amazing, truly amazing. And he said, I'm doing for 4 hours. I'll show you how it's done, and then it's all yours. So he slapped it. He works incredibly fast, right? He's got great eyes for how things fit together. And from that 4 hours or 5 hours, I learned a lot. And I afterwards went about a tenth of the speed because I didn't realize how intricate it was to put the right rocks in the right spot. You can just put any rocks, but to make it look beautiful and more secure and such, it's nice to have them fitting. But you can't go too fast also. Because if you go too fast, what happens? The wall comes down. And the whole 3 weeks that I was working on this, not the whole time I was building, we were doing well. We were doing it methodically. I was going slow. We were picking out nice big rocks and small rocks. I went down to the creek after I realized that you could get huge rocks and put them in for beauty. So I went down and we had this 4x4 truck and I lifted up the biggest rock I could here. I slipped. What happened? Crushed my leg. I can still feel my knee because of it. I was alone too. It was very, very, very painful. Excuse me. But I learned that you can use all kinds of rocks. And all kinds of rocks can be implemented into this wall. Just like all of us. I thought first that we had to be all similar or flat and fit nicely. Because this is a stacked stone wall. But you can actually have extremely funky stones. And sometimes those extremely funky stones make the wall look better. The big ones and the rough ones. And the ones that have been, the stream bed has ripped through. And there's such beauty, amazing beauty in all of these stones. And the last day, I was trying to complete the top portion. And guess what happened? I was working too fast. Right? There was only three of us at this time. And they were helping. We're mixing cement by hand. And we're putting it up. And then my brother-in-law and sister have to leave. So then it's just me. And I'm slapping the last inch because we got to go because the next day I'm flying out back to Israel. And guess what happens? The top 4 feet or so just goes, poof, oh, devastated. And John had told me, he says, don't worry. If you build too fast, you'll learn. And at that moment, I learned well. Oh, Lord, I've got to fly. It's getting dark. And so I did a better job, a little bit slower into the night, a little bit, and finished that wall. You have to be careful about building too quickly. But to be encouraged that we can use all kinds of rocks. And God uses these different giftings to build a beautiful wall. We need perseverance in building in our life. This is our third point. These people saw the job to the end. Perseverance. And I think it's especially hard in this country, maybe in a lot of other countries that are third world as well. This has elements of it here, right? That it's really hard to build things. Your own character, your own life, a house, building up to get a computer, building up to get a car, building up for anything in this country. Sometimes you can take two steps forward and three steps back. Right? Recently, I've had some very wonderful experiences in building in my own life as far as experience and work. I've had the great joy of guiding some groups, and recently a man who had never given his life to Christ was baptized in the Jordan River, and that was just a real joy. It was amazing. Praise the Lord. And the Jordan River down by Jericho is now open and very clean water after tens of thousands of Israeli shekels to clean it up. But I've also had some setbacks. I work with a home for Bible translators, and it's a ministry that brings Bible translators from all around the world to learn Hebrew and historical geography. And a van opened up, right? There was a free van, not a free van, but I mean a van that I could use as part of the ministry and the work. I had it for about a month. I was very careful. I added a lock to it. I parked it 40 meters away from a gas station. I came out of class. Gone. Oh, Lord. Money from the ministry. Affecting me. Try to build. I want a vehicle for working with people and for my family. Oh, crushed. We weren't sure if there was insurance. Oh, okay, let's hope. We'll find out tomorrow when an insurance agent opens. Get the phone call. No insurance. It was too much money because it didn't make sense, right? Oh, crushed. 2 days after, I was driving around a similar area, and I saw this huge poster. And you've all seen them. Sometimes they're small, sometimes they're big. This one was very large on the curb area where the barrier, those big metal barriers to keep people from walking across. And it was tied on or something, taped up. And I noticed from the way it was made that it was a death notice. And I was driving, so I couldn't see it and didn't know the person probably anyway. But I could read in larger print than even the name, Baruch Dayan Amet, which means blessed is the just, true judge. I was immediately convicted. Man, if people can say this at the death of a person who they love so much to post this up all over, right? Can't I give up this van? God is the judge. God is the righteous and true judge. Amen? It's so temporary. It's nothing. It's a bunch of hunk of metal. It's all going to burn. Right? Lo and behold, like a month later, through the graciousness of people here in the congregation, a new van was given to us. What an amazing gift. Baruch Dayan Amet. An amazing gift. And so that's an encouragement for us to trust in the Lord, to persevere through good times in our building, in our ministry, in our work, and even in bad times. Building together takes a lot of work. There's a song that was very well known at Houghton College, where Dolly and I went, called Concern. Concern takes a whole lot of time. It takes a whole lot of energy. It takes a whole bunch of your heart. I pray that we would pray, remember God first. Put Him first. Then our family. Then our work and ministry. Because that's the only order that works in building in God's kingdom. That we would remember God to rest, to worship Him, to be real and work as a team, and to act courageously. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about building as well. If you'd like to turn there, you're welcome to. Ephesians 4:11 says, "And He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service." Some translations in Hebrew have the same same word in Hebrew for work that we've been talking about. "To the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature person, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed there and here and there by waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, and by speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into Him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Amen.
Leave a trail behind me. I was just thinking about all the preparation into the tabernacle and the doors and the entrance to the altars and all the things that went into. But there was a crowning moment in chapter 8 of 1 Kings. In verse 10, it says, "And it came to pass that when the priest had come out in the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so the priest could not continue to minister because of the cloud. And the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." And without that preparation, that careful preparation and all that went into it, all the precious items, the glory of the Lord wouldn't have come in such a powerful manner. But it's a lesson for us that He wants that careful attention to what we build into our lives, and then the crowning glory that He wants to fill us with His Spirit in a very convincing way, so that the world might see that it's His work amongst us. Brian mentioned the vehicle that the Lord supplied for him, and I want to just we have the vehicle outside. The congregation helped us get a vehicle just several weeks ago. Gave us money for a vehicle. We've got a new used Suzuki. It's a red car out in the parking lot. So you can all rejoice with us to see the vehicle we got. We bless the Lord for that, and thank you so much, all of you, for that. Father, we bless you and thank you that we will remember. We choose to pause and reflect and think about your goodness. And Lord, we're touched by the record of your word and how meticulous now in detail it is. And we don't want to leave out any detail of your preparation in our lives and in the building of our lives for your glory. Lord, make us a witness, a testimony in this land amongst the peoples, Jew, Arab, Armenian, Bedouin, Druze, all the people groups that are here. Lord, use us to be reflections of your glory and to point people to the Savior, Jesus the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and thank you that you're touching people's hearts even today and healing broken spirits and bodies as well. If there are any here today, we call on you to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved and be delivered and to know him who has made himself the perfect sacrifice for your and my sin. We bless you, Father, and in Jesus' name, amen. Greet one another, bless one another, greet especially the guests that are here amongst us today. Amen.